Absolutely.
Is he?
She'll tell me all about it. Hopefully, remember, I gave an address to the UBC on Robert E. Lee yesterday, so I'll make sure that I don't change gears and start talking about it.
That's Mr. Huston.
As we begin our worship, praises due thee, O God in Zion, and to thee shall vows be performed.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, walk restlessly. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old the apostles heard it by the Galilean Lake, turn from home. Give our hearts to thine appeal.
Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This time I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I want to talk with you a few minutes. Would you come? Come on up here, dude. Come on, Josh. And how are you? Pretty good?
Hot.
Hot up there, yes. Yes, it's hot. Well, I want to tell you a story about a man that was told to go and to preach to a great big city. Thousands of people in that city. He really didn't want to go. His name was Jonah. You heard that story? Jonah was told to go preach. And that's what he did. He decided he'd take off and go in the opposite direction, so he got on a boat. And that didn't please God at all, because he wanted Jonah to go over here to Nineveh, and Jonah gets on a boat and goes over there. So he's sailing on the Mediterranean. So God says, wind, see if you can do everything but turn that boat over. So the wind blew and blew and blew, and it scared the crew. And they said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Everybody pray to their God. See, he had different gods back then. Everybody pray to their God, and maybe something will happen so we won't die. Jonah was in the bottom of the boat sleeping while all this went on. So the captain of the boat, he comes down and says, get up, pray to your God so that the wind will stop and the storm will quit blowing up. So Jonah says, well, it's my fault. I've been disobedient to God. God wanted me to do something over here, but I took off and went over there. He says, why don't you throw me overboard?
Can you believe that?
Jonah getting thrown overboard? Oh, dear. No, we don't want to do that.
They worked harder and harder and harder. Jonah said, my fault. And they actually cast lots in it. Jonah, he was the problem. So one, two, in the ocean. He's out there by all by himself. You know what God did? He appointed a great big fish to come and swallow Jonah. Here you've got Jonah in the stomach of a fish. He's just swimming around. He'll have some food. Here comes a piece of fish. I guess Jonah was not so hungry about it. But Jonah is in the belly of the great fish. And then God said, fish, he's had about enough. Stew him up on some dry ground. So that great big fish coughed once. Out went Jonah. And he landed on dry ground. Okay? And then God said, Jonah, will you do what I ask you to do? Jonah went to work for the Lord. Boys and girls, God has plans for you and for me and for all these folks. When we decide to go in another direction besides what God wants, we usually run up against a storm in our life. It is only when we decide we're going to do what God says, no matter how hard it might be, no matter
whether we want to or not, things go much better when we do what God says. Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for Jonah, for he's a lot like we are. Thank you for being you, and thank you for picking us to do the job that you want us to do. Bless us, keep us, especially when we're running away from you. Let us turn back to follow you, that all may go well with your work and with our lives. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. Substitute.
Are you using a handheld in the choir? Handheld one's turned on.
Things going. And we're always very much indebted to you, sir. Thank you very much. We come to the time now in our worship for the prayers for the congregation, for concerns throughout our thinking as well as throughout the world. Things that we pick up on that really are quite disturbing. The time for corporate prayer is very important for a church. And so these are our occasions to come together and focus upon those concerns that we know about. The prayer concerns are listed there on the back of the bulletin. I lift all of them up to your consideration as we pray. So let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings upon us and our intercessions for those that it is our privilege and responsibility to pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the privilege of prayer. We give you thanks for the joy of not being alone in this world, where no one understands us, where no one particularly cares. For the world is really quite impersonal, as you know, through the life of Jesus. But we know that you are a personal God, that you know each one of us by name, that if we're at all like Jeremiah, you knew us before ever we were conceived in our mother's wombs. So thank you for your watch care over us, for noticing and understanding all the ins and outs of our very souls, recognizing our personalities and the issues that we have to deal with and how we respond because of what's inside of our hearts and our minds. We give you thanks for this church, for this congregation of people who love each other and who love you. We're grateful for our extended congregation, those who have moved away, those who are worshiping in other places because their work or their lives have moved them from Rockwood itself. We're grateful for the ministry and the stewardship of influence for this great church of yours and all the people who worship here
as well as those who've worshiped here in the past. Lord, you have blessed us profoundly. And there are a number of folks that we know about who are having a difficult time with their health, with issues about jobs, family issues. There are many who are having difficulties wondering what they will do with their lives as far as a career is concerned. In the quietness of the day, touch them with insight. Bless them with your presence. And let all of us know that you are striving with us as we deal with the issues that the world places upon us. Lord, there are many areas in the world in which we live which literally do not have a saving knowledge of you. We pray for the situation with ISIS and the execution, apparently, of the Japanese person. We pray for that nation as they go into disbelief, go into convulsion about the seriousness and meanness and terror which is around and which has touched them. Bless all countries where there is terror and the victims thereof. And the good Lord has told us to pray for our enemies, so we pray for ISIS and ask that you would touch the hearts of those hard-hearted individuals. Touch them with the love of Jesus. Indeed, touch all of us with that love, because we need Jesus. Because without Jesus, things will deteriorate in a very fast and quick way. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the different levels of government in our country. Please take away the unnecessary conflict and acrimony which we continually see and hear about with this great country. Let the better angels of our nature as a country prevail over the lesser angels of our human nature. For we know that we can be better than we are. So bless those who are elected, bless those who are appointed, and bless us as citizens that we can indeed strive for the high road instead of taking the low road in life. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All along my pilgrim journey, save. sorrow and despair. Does the future press you with its worry and its cares? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. He is always there.
Continue with our worship service with the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Would you come? We are grateful, O Lord, for the opportunities that you give all of us to live and to work and to move and have our being in this your realm. Thanks for the opportunities you give us to earn money, to spend money, and to have charge accounts. Now use this money we give back to you your tithes and our offerings. Use it to make a difference in this your world through this church's ministry and mission. Amen. Let us hear the word of the Lord as it is contained in the book of the prophet Jonah, chapter number 3, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going for a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 more days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal or herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger, so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us pray. O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. Virginia and I have two little grandsons. One is 11, the other is 7. One is 10, I think, and the other is 7. But you get the drift. The older one is named for his father and his grandfather and his great-great-grandfather, etc. William is a name in our family all the way back to the early 1700s, but not Junior's. The other one's name is Tate. Different personalities. The older one, Cam, William Cameron, he is reflective. He thinks a lot about things. I never will forget one time we were there at Thanksgiving, and he was just sitting in the living room and just kind of looking out the window. He had his little deal here like mine, but he wasn't playing on it. I said, "Grandson, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm thinking about all those children that don't have as much as I do and wondering why they don't." At that time, he was about 8, and I thought, wow. But now the younger one, whose name is Tate Hodges, he's of a different ilk. I'll give you an example as to what he's like. His dad, Sean, our son, says he has a savings account for Tate. He'll use it for building a place to store his trophies and other accoutrements because he has the mentality and the attitude of a professional halfback, if you get the drift. Crashing through the lines, going here, there, and yonder, his own mind telling him where he's going to be and where and when. Says, "I'll use it for his trophy chest, or I'll use it for bail money." Now, that's his personality. In a very real sense, he is more like me than the one who is named William. All of my life, I've gone crashing through, zipping here, zipping there, pushing everything 3/3 of a day, working hard, 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 hard. And so I know about Jonah. Because all of my life, I've had inklings of William, Bill. Daddy called me Bill, but my mama called me William, if you get the drift. I was in trouble most of the time with mama. But there have been occasions when I've just gone the other direction. And that is a personality type, and I'm suggesting that Jonah may be very much like Bill and his younger grandson. Headstrong, going here, crashing through the line, making touchdowns, if you will. Now, Jonah tried that with God. You know the story. I used it for the sermon's, the children's address. And so here he is. He's a little bit, shall we say, subdued from having lived in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights. God comes at him again. Tell you what I want you to do, Jonah. I want you to go to Nineveh. It's a huge city. And I want you to tell them that if they don't repent in 40 days, they won't be a city. They'll be overthrown. So can't you, now picture your mind's eye. He goes a day's walk into Nineveh. Very likely his message goes like this. If you don't repent, you're going to die. You don't hear me, do you? I'm almost certain with his mentality, which is like mine and my grandson's, he would have been very pouty and said, "Hey, you better repent." Nothing convincing. But, and here's an interesting aspect of God. What he said caught fire. And all of a sudden, did you hear what that guy said? He said, if we don't repent, in 40 days there won't be a Nineveh. We better repent. So word spread like wildfire. Whoosh! Came all the way up to the king's ears, and he proclaimed a fast. And he had even the animals dressed in sackcloth. Now, I would love to have seen that. And ashes. They would sit in the ashes. Okay. God sees what happens. Now let's stop right now. Many are the times we say God is an Old Testament God in the Old Testament. He is fierce. He wants his way or the highway. You break that law, you get it in the neck or lose your neck. Well, here is an instance, and there are many other instances in the Old Testament where God is very long-suffering. God wants his way, and God will have his way, oh yes. But he picked somebody to do a job. The person said, I don't think so. And God said, oh yeah? Let's see how you handle this storm and life in the belly of the fish. And that softened him up. I've had those instances in my life when I'm not quite as cocky as I usually have been. And I'm sure young Tate will have the same sort of thing. It's the Lord's way of saying, wait a minute, I'm in charge, not you. But anyway, God kept striving with Jonah. We need to remember he'll keep striving with you and me too. Because I have an idea that all of us can be very petulant in doing what we want to do and not what we know God wants us to do. Say amen.
Amen.
We're all on the same page, aren't we? So God kept on, and he kept on. Persistence is an aspect of God's personality. He's not going to give up on us. So don't ever despair. Even though you may be going over here and God wants you over there, he still is going to go after you. And you might as well quit, turn around, and get with God's plan. So God sees what happens. To the citizens of Nineveh, the animals, everything was repenting. Everything was repenting. And then God does something very interesting. God changes his mind. He saw the results of Jonah's proclamation. God changed his mind. Now in the King James Version, I think you'll find that God repented of the evil that he had planned to do. And this is the interesting aspect of God that I want us to remember, no matter what. God can change his plan. Especially when he looks at our response to what he wants us to do or to be like. And we find that rather strange because we think that God's already dialed in for us what we're supposed to do. And all we have to do is fit our will with God's will. I've been taught that. I understand that. But it is the Old Testament God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfectly free to alter his plans based upon additional information that we give back to him. Additional feedback, if you will, altering the plan. Well, since repent actually means change direction, this translation is correct. Two, he changed his mind. Do we not realize God can change his mind? If we have some issues with that, then we need to remember that idea comes from the Greek reflection of God, not the Hebrew. The Hebrew reflection of God is that God walks with us, he talks with us, he tells us we are his own. He is a personal God that takes He takes consideration of the personal situations that we find ourselves in, and he alters what he wants to do based on what we can do, what we are willing to do, and sometimes he puts us in situations to soften us up, as he did Jonah. Many of the times I've heard, well, there's got to be a reason for this, there's got to be a reason for that. The assumption is that God is reasonable. Are you reasonable? Is love reasonable? Think about that a minute. Is love reasonable? Or do you love someone or have loved someone and it makes no sense for you to love them whatsoever, but you still love them? You follow me? So now we've got a situation when the most important thing in our lives, namely love of God and love of humankind and love of neighbor, is not reasonable. And yet we say, in a very offhand way, there must be a reason for that. The reason may be a stupid decision. You follow me? Sometimes we get ourselves caught when we've made the wrong decision. Can't you see Jonah fighting through the digestive juices of that great fish, saying, there must be a reason for this? I can see that. I can also see Jonah saying, duh, I believe I know what the reason is. I went in that direction instead of going in this direction. It's my fault. God lets us come to that conclusion because God is a person. He is a personal God. Sometimes he's reasonable, sometimes he's rash, all the time he's loving. And we can get paddled pretty seriously if we find ourselves in opposition to what God wants. Also, there are times when bad things happen of no fault of anybody's, collateral damage, if you will. Something went down. There's a reason for it. Yes, something went down. Not your fault. But it's what we make of it that's important. We can be filled with despair and pout, or we can witness to the presence of God in the midst of our adversity. Let's look at what happened in the next chapter of Jonah, chapter number 4. God changes his mind. We've already seen that God is capable of changing his mind when circumstances change. And we better be glad of that. But Jonah's not happy. Jonah really wanted those people of Nineveh to be destroyed. So he goes outside the city and he sits there pouting because he wanted them to die. Now, how do you like that? Here is a person used by God getting the message to these people and is upset because it's God's message through him. Worked. And God and Jonah have some very interesting dialogue. Why are you here? I just want to die. I just want to die. I knew that you would repent. I knew that you would save them. And I didn't want them saved, God. I wanted them to die. So he has himself a little booth to shade himself from the sun. And the good Lord made a bush to come up too. The bush was a wonderful shade, but that night he had a cutworm come and it killed the bush, and so now he's really bad off. Apparently his shelter didn't work. The bush is gone, and so now he just wants to die. Why are you pouting, Jonah? I just want to die. Didn't get my way. I just want not to be here. Are you pouting because the cutworm took down the bush. You didn't build that bush. You had no responsibility for it at all. And you're whining about that. You're also whining because I saved that great city. Don't you think that a city of people with many animals is more important than a bush? And of all things, there the story ends. Wouldn't you like to know if Jonah ever got a better attitude? I wonder if the good Lord is not letting us finish the story of Jonah. Because how many times do we pout when we really wish for somebody to have their comeuppance and they repented? We didn't get our way, and so we go off all stoved up. And we can be like Jonah. And for all we know, for all eternity, Jonah is still pouting. But will the story stop with Jonah when we are like Jonah? How do we respond when those who are bad people in our opinions, when they have a change of heart? How do we respond? Are we celebrative? Are we saying, you just didn't deserve to get better, you should? You know what I'm saying? So maybe the story of Jonah is to be completed with you and me. How do we act when we see people change, whether we've had anything to do with it or not, but now things are better for them, even though we don't like them? Can't we celebrate? The good Lord was. He was happy about Nineveh's response to Jonah's message, even though it was probably delivered in a very begrudging way. The Lord was happy. Just as today, the Lord is happy when a sinner changes his ways or repents. The Lord is ecstatic. Yes. Yes. And this is the aspect of God's personality I want us to remember. He's not going to let us go. I think the good Lord loves my grandson, Tate. He made him that way, petulant. I've seen him get in his mother's face and dress her down when he wasn't but about 3 years old. I thought to myself, he ought to be spanked for that. But it was so funny that Emily, my daughter-in-law, got tickled and had to turn away. Because he was looking up at that little pointed finger. I'll have you know, my name is not Tater Tot. It's Tater. It's been that way since I was born. I about cracked up. And poor Emily, oh my goodness gracious, he is a handful. The good Lord knows about us who are handfuls. But do we want to still be a handful? He is persistent. He is going to use Tate, even as he's used me and used you. He's going to pursue us. He's not going to quit. He's going to give us things to do, a second thing, and he wants us to do them. He wants you to do what you are called to do and me to do what I'm called to do, and he will have results to come. That's what's going to happen. And when we see results, if God had planned really a rough situation for the people that he's got zeroed in on, God is fully capable of changing his mind, repenting, changing direction, and making adjustments to his previous plans. Keep this in mind, because God is not that stolid, I've made my mind up, this is the way it's going to be, you do this or you die, blah. That's the Greek understanding of God. God is personal. He has a personality. He has moods. I don't want God to be angry, do you? That's why we need to stay prayed up and stay in communication wherever God leads us. That's what God is like. And Jonah is a fantastic story about human nature, about ability to repent, but most of all, about a gracious God who is flexible, depending upon the situations given to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory. There may be those individuals who would like to unite in the fellowship of this congregation, others who would like to come about the altar for prayer. If you'd come forward as we sing this hymn, we'd be glad to receive you and to honor your request, and also to pray with you. We'll stand as we sing. iPhone, and it said 10 after 12, which meant I went into overtime. If you look at your watch now, you're getting out a little early, so I'm paying you back if you follow me. Aren't you proud of me?
Yes.
So, amen, that'll work, amen. It's good to have Wayne back at the keyboards. He was on vacation last week. John Trimley did a tremendous job for us, but Wayne, we're glad to have you back. Where are you? And I want to compliment your music department here. Allison plays beautifully with Wayne, and then we have Terry in the choir. So let's give him a resounding amen.
Amen.
We appreciate all of you so very much. Now, one more thing, a prayer concern, but also wanted to let you know. Ever since I've had diabetes in December of 1991, Virginia just baked up a bunch of Christmas stuff, you know, stuff that I like to eat. And I went to the doctor to do preliminary blood work on my, for a hernia I had to have repaired. So I came out with a huge elevation of sugar, 538 was my sugar. So that told me I was on a wonderful, wonderful regimen for diabetes. And so I've been too sweet. ever since, if you understand. Now, tomorrow, Virginia and I will go to Durham. I learned a long time ago when I was a student there that if you have something really intricate that you have to watch and be careful with, you better go to a university center because they have folks that look over people's shoulders. And they've got all these little puppies that follow the big dog up and down the hall, if you know what I'm saying. And so that's where we're going. My folks there check on me twice a year. So I've been sick a lot since I've been here, but I'm not ill. I'm just being checked to make sure that I'm behaving myself. But they took me and they kept me because it's not a usual thing for a person with diabetes to be the senior pastor of a 2,600 member church. You've got ups and downs and ups, almost within 15 minutes of each other when you're at a church of that size, as you all know. So they thought, well, you know, this is an interesting character. We better keep up with him. So I'm delighted they're doing that. I'll be seeing a specialist Tuesday afternoon. He should drive back very late Tuesday night, and we'll be here for Bible study. And so we need your prayers for traveling mercies and also for the people, the specialists, who will be looking at my endocrinological profile, that they'll see what to do with this with this fellow that's always crashing through holes in the line, playing football, and who's got a little tiny grandson that's just like him. So if you get my drift, okay? Well, you'll see the blessing. In peace, in joy, in thanksgiving, people of God, go forth. Enjoy this beautiful day. Enjoy this personal God, which all of us have. Be faithful to him. Be faithful to each other. Be faithful to the church. And let's keep each other in our prayers. Go in peace.